The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage. Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to Table Talk, our now monthly special presentation here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260 The Rock. We're very glad and thankful that you're with us today for this special hour-long program where we welcome back to our microphone His Grace, Bishop Milan Locke of the Eparchy of Parma, Ohio. Your Grace, welcome back to our AM 1260 studios.
Thank you so much.
Also with us today, coming with the bishop, we're pleased to have the very Reverend Mitred Archpriest, Father Marek Wisniewski. Father Marek is the Director of Vocations in the Eparchy of Parma and also the pastor of one of our local churches here. Father, welcome to The Rock.
Thank you so much.
Pleased to have you with us.
Thank you.
We're going to discuss a lot of things. Bishop, you're back here for the second time, and thank you for asking Father Marek to come with you. Lots of things on the table to talk about. But first, as we always do, would you please lead us in an opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you promise your Spirit to all of your disciples. So we want to invite Holy Spirit in also in this time to be with us. Amen.
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 Bishop, last time you were with us was several months ago in the late spring. You were preparing for the 50th anniversary, the Golden Jubilee of the Eparchy of Parma, the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, which is there on the corner of Snow Road, your cathedral, and Broadview. All the many people who are from Northeast Ohio know exactly where that is. We were pleased to broadcast the Divine Liturgy that day and also to attend. You had a special lunch and a reception and many other things that were going on at the time to celebrate 50 years of the Eparchy. Looking back at that, that Divine Liturgy was a very wonderful way to mark 50 years of the past, but then also look to the future. We enjoyed being there very much.
Yes, I appreciate your presence as a Rock Radio present here to make broadcast from Divine Liturgy. And yes, this is a time, you know, to say thank you, God. Thanks to God for these 50 years. And we are looking for, you know, in the future forward, what we can offer to people. I think that we have not, you know, too much, you know, to invention or maybe, you know, to make some creativity, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the same just 2,000 years. And so we are invited to lead our people and lead the people to Jesus Christ, to have life approach to Him. And after, you know, to touch the Jesus Christ will, you know, touch the heart of people. And the Holy Spirit, you know, will be, you know, to give, you know, the inspiration and also to, how to say, to know, let us know what we need to do today here in the United States as a Catholics, as a Christians. And I think that also, you know, this is, if we can say, my program, my schedule, my idea, my vision for future of also of our eparchy in these 12 states, really to bring and to proclaim alive Jesus Christ. This is our mission. This is, you know, what Jesus sent us, you know, the 12 apostles, and also myself as a successor of apostles, as a bishop here, with help of my priest, with our deacons and believers, laymen. We are church, yes. We are not, you know, that a big church or, you know, some mega church, but it's not, that doesn't matter. We are here, and, you know, and we are invited to be salt and yeast, you know, of the of this world.
It is certainly a different world today than it was 50 years ago in this country and virtually everywhere else. Very different. So with the different challenges, different ways to reach people with the gospel.
Yeah, this is it. Yes, this is they are, you know, the challenges for us every time, also, you know, this period. But one, you know, one activity or one what we are invited to do is the same how, you know, 2000 years ago, to be with Jesus, to be with Christ in prayer, personally, in personal dimension, but also in public dimension, as, you know, community. And this will be as the same, and is not, we don't need, you know, too much invention for this, as to say. We have experience, we have tradition. Tradition not as a museum, but as an experience, those who had experience with Christ. It is wonderful that we can to be inspired by them as they were inspired by their predecessors. And we have, you know, always, you know, the gospel in our hands, and we need to touch, you know, the gospel, really gospel, as a priority. And others, you know, I think maybe customs and something, he's not leading us to Christ, is secondary. And we are invited every day, make discernment every day in personal prayer every day, and also in you know, the in community prayer. And this is a big challenge, I think, that we need. And I encourage the people also through right now the broadcast, that we have to find a time. We need to stop. We need to pray. We need to pray together. We need to pray with our kids. We need to pray. We have to pray with our grandkids. This is as a something priority. And after we can, after this, we can think what we need to do in church.
When you were with us the first time a few months ago, I remember very clearly that you mentioned this, that it begins with the prayer. Everything begins with prayer. Your own personal prayer, prayer with the family, and you've restated that. And what I noticed that when we were at your 50th anniversary at the Golden Jubilee at the cathedral there in Parma, there were many young people there, and there were families, and you actually had some activities for the young people. Father Marek, I know you had some boys and girls camps and other things, and we've talked about keeping younger people interested and engaged in the Catholic faith. What are some of the things that you had done there to keep families and especially younger people interested?
As far as the boys and girls camp, we always had it at the Shrine of Our Lady of Maria Poch in Burton. But this year we wanted to have it at the cathedral as part of the 50th anniversary, and to show him the example of a prayer, because there is something very unique, I believe, about children. I have three children myself, and I can tell that they're children are not good listeners. they won't listen. You tell them something that they'll just do their own things. However, the uniqueness of children is they're great observant. So whatever they see you doing, they'll do. Okay, if they see mom and dad fighting, well, they'll fight. If they see grandma and grandpa playing cards, being bored to death, they'll play cards. But if they see parents praying, well, they'll pray. If they see parents taking or grandparents taking them to church, they'll go to church. That's something that we as a parents or grandparents have as a mission, you know, to ignite them with the love of Christ. Because later they can study about Christ, they can go to universities, they can study for the rest of their lives. But if they don't have that fire within themselves, it's not worth it then. So, and that's what we were trying to do even with the boys and girls camp, to have not only the activities to keep them busy, you can keep them busy all day and do all kinds of things, but to show them the prayer life of our church. And that was something, you know, as I remember praying Friday night, Panahida and Parastas. Bishop Milan was present there. Archbishop Metropolitan Philip Kocsis from Hungary was present there. And he even mentioned something like, these children will never forget these prayers, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the evening. And the church was, I would say, was pretty full of children and young kids. And I'm glad that we did it as one of the prayerful activities. You know, we did a walk from the cathedral to Holy Spirit Church, which is from the 1900 Carlton Road all the way to West 54th Street. They walked and pray and sang, being a...
In public.
In public. Yeah. Yeah, being a witnesses. You know, people were waving to them and beating horns. And, you know, it was a nice thing. But, you know, they already got into their blood, sort of like, well, here we are, and we're not ashamed. Went to Holy Spirit Cemetery, prayed with the rest of the clergy there. About 40 of us were there. Pray Panahida for all the priests. And... went back to the cathedral, met with Cardinal Sandri, giving him questions. And again, the whole program was led, and thank God to Christ the Bridegroom Monastery and the nuns, that they helped them. They helped us to do that, but they helped children to be on that schedule, the prayerful schedule. Because I always say that prayer is the bread and butter of our lives, especially as a priest, and everything comes from prayer. It's like a good breakfast. You need to have something that gives you the energy and the nourishment for the whole day.
Always comes back to beginning with prayer. We hear that time and time again. And talking about the family and kids and learning by example, sure, the family is so under attack now. And the devil, the evil one, this is the way to undermine everything, to go after the family, to dissolve the family, to corrupt the family, to break apart the family. And so whether you are a parent, a grandparent, a bishop, priest, this example to children, Father Matic, which you said is very, you know, very important. You look at kids and you're right, they learn very much by example, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. And if they can learn the example of prayer and active participation mm-hmm. in public of their faith, then the parent, the priest, the grandparent, the bishop has done a good job in helping to form and lead that child, I believe. I want to remind everyone that you're listening to a special program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and this program is Table Talk. Today, two guests. Bishop Milan Lach of the Eparchy of Parma is back with us, and he has brought with him Father Matic Wisnowski, the Director of Vocations, and also a pastor of St. Mary
Mary's
Parish in Cleveland. And so we've been talking about, first, the Golden Jubilee of the Eparchy was 50 years, a short time ago. We want to also talk about something that is right around the corner here. You are going to be having your traditional yearly pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Mariupolj. And this is a shrine, you mentioned, Father, in Burton, Ohio, not too far of a drive from here. You can make it in less than an hour. And this is going to be on the 17th and 18th of August, a Saturday, Sunday. Tell us, Bishop, a little bit about this pilgrimage. What is a pilgrimage, and why would you organize something called a pilgrimage?
So our Christian life here on, you know, on earth is a, you know, one pilgrimage. We are pilgrims. We are pilgrims on the, you know, promised land in heavenly kingdom. As you know, in Old Testament, you know, the Israel's nation, you know, was pilgrimage from, you know, from Egypt to promised land by this 40 years, by little by Moses. So we as a Christians, we are led by Jesus Christ for in our life here as a pilgrimage to heavenly kingdom. And for this reason, you know, from beginning, the people, the Christians We're visiting, the holy places, as a first, the holy sepulchre, in Jerusalem, where was, the empty tomb of Jesus, place of his crucifixion, and later also, the tombs of the martyrs, in everywhere, where these disciples, apostles, proclaimed the gospel, and they offered our life for Christ. So it became the places, and the places of the shrines, the big churches, the churches who became centers of the pilgrimage, and also this is this tradition, is arriving until here, in Europe is a big pilgrimage centers, as I said, the Jerusalem, Rome, Santiago de Compostela. Now the Fatima, Lourdes, and so, but also in United States we have many, the famous, Guadalupe, Shrine of Mother of God, but also here we have in Ohio and also in our eparchy we have this, small shrine, but it's a shrine also for as a center of pilgrimage, and people from May to October, every Sunday, they are gathered there for Divine Liturgy afternoon at 3 p.m.
4 p.m.
Every Sunday from May to October, so you can go also to go there to Divine Liturgy. As a Catholic, you can participate. You can go to make Holy Communion, confession, Holy Confession. So, and especially this year, next couple of days, in August 17th, 18th, we will be there gathered. Again, youth, believers, clergy, nuns, together and to pray together, to be together, to share together, also how this our devotion to Mother of God, of Mariupolj.
We're going to talk more about Our Lady of Mariupolj and also about the feast on the 15th of August, which in the Roman Church is called the Feast of the Assumption, in the Eastern Church is the Dormition of the Blessed Virgin. Very, very important in Eastern theology, and we'll talk about that a little more. As we move to our first break here, we want to have some of the sounds from one of the choirs from one of Bishop's churches, and he's brought some of that music with us. So as we take a listen to that, we'll take a short break and be back with more right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and we've been talking with our special guests in studio, His Grace, Bishop Milan Lach of the Eparchy of Parma. And he's brought with him, as when we were on our break, Bishop said, make sure you give Father Marek's title, Protosynchelos. So this sounds very mysterious and so on, but basically what it means is you are the general vicar of the Eparchy, the right-hand man of the bishop. So
that's correct.
We must make sure that we know that. There's a lot of different titles and so on in clerical language, but this is what it is. And so, Father Marek, we're welcome you to AM 1260. We were talking about the pilgrimage, which is happening this weekend at the Shrine of Our Lady of Mariupolj in Burton, Ohio. And this is something my wife and I and family have been on this pilgrimage a number of times, and it's actually a wonderful experience. So if you're listening on Thursday or Saturday, or even on Sunday, you can go out on Sunday because it's still going on. This is a really wonderful way to bring your family together and reinvigorate your faith. And also on Sunday, I want to mention is that EWTN personality and our good friend, Dr. Ray Guarendi, is going to be the speaker at this about the family. And that will be on Sunday afternoon. You're listening right now after church. Stay in the car and go right on out to Burton, Ohio, okay? Just put Our Lady of Mariupolj in your GPS and you'll find it. Head to Burton and ask anybody where it is and you'll find it. Anyway, Father Mark, talking about Eastern theology and various practices and things that are important in the Eastern Catholic churches. One of them is iconography. I think many people all over the world, East and West, associate icons with Eastern Catholic and also with Orthodoxy, but also with Eastern Catholic churches. You are an icon writer, an iconographer. Tell us a little bit about, and specifically we're going to talk about the Feast of the Assumption, the Feast of the Dormition on the 15th of August. But tell us a little bit why iconography is important and how it came about to have its place in the Eastern churches.
Okay, icon itself, when you hear the word icon from the Greek word, it means any picture. But in the Eastern Church and the Orthodox Church, when you hear the word icon, it's not only something, but it's actually someone. Many times they refer to icon as it's the port, it's the meeting place between person and God. It's like entry into, someone may have question into what, but entry into the heavenly realm.
Like a window.
Exactly. You know, so when you enter an Eastern Church, Orthodox Church, you're enshrouded by iconography. You come in, you get into that aesthetic awe. You know, you come into the church and you just stop, aesthetic rest, as they call it. But a couple of characters as you approach an icon, because you may approach an icon, look at it, and, you know, move on. But if you approach icon with faith, that's totally different. And then you have these two approaches. There is eschatological approach, and then there is an anthropological approach. Those are $2 million words. But what it means is eschatology, you see in an icon the world to come. And anthropological character is you see that beauty and harmony. Right? As Dostoevsky said one time, beauty will save the world. So you see this harmony there, and that's what you want to be. You come to church many times, or we come to church, messed up human beings. And iconography is something, and icons, that actually brings us closer to God. The Saint John Damascus, he was referring to iconography. It's like the parallel between the gospel. What the word of the gospel is for the ear, the icon is for the eye. And that go with each other. And many times they refer to iconography as the Bible for the illiterate. Mm-hmm. People who didn't know how to write and read. Now, in this day and age, it's very difficult to imagine that, but not everybody went to school. Many people went to school maybe for like a half a year or a year. I remember my grandma going to school for a couple of years, and that's it. You know, she knew how to sign her name. That was about it. I mean, a few other things, but just for an example, that's what helped people to understand their faith as they enter the church. Another unique thing about icon is the reverse perspective. You look at the icon and it doesn't look like a real picture. You look at any of the picture here, we have a picture of Jesus, I trust in you, the divine grace. You know, you have that 3D picture where you go to Sistine Chapel, you have something that you look at that picture and you have this vanishing point deep inside the picture. You know, 3D picture, you have figures up in front of you, and then you have figures behind. You have houses, you have trees, or whatever is a little
perspective.
Farther.
Yeah.
So that vanishing point is deep inside. In iconography, that's the reverse. So that vanishing point, you have buildings in all kinds of goofy angles, and the figures that they have a main character are in the center of the icon. Figures that may not have as important character, they're even in front, but depicted as smaller people or smaller figures. And that gives you some goofy feeling, but what it is, you know, that vanishing point is deep inside the heart of the viewer. So with the 3D picture, the viewer is human being, you know, and that vanishing point is inside the picture. In iconography, in icon, the viewer is God, and that vanishing point is in the human
inside
heart.
View. Yeah.
So hopefully that makes sense. But that's the uniqueness of the icon as we approach the icon. There are many other things that define icons. Many times you see saints who are not smiling, right? They have very small mouth.
Including Saint Joseph in some icons, not smiling.
That's right. Yeah. You know, there's no facial expression. There's large ears, thin elongated nose. Bodies are elongated as well. And you know, you're looking at it, and many times it looks very primitive. But what it is, and I like to tell children, you know, that these saints, they had small mouth depicted because they didn't talk as much. But they had large ears.
I'll have to remember that. You want to be a saint? Don't talk a lot, right?
That's right. But, you know, you need to listen. And that's why, you know, if the viewer look at the icon, it was like the first hint.
Uh-huh.
Small mouth, but
big
large
ears.
All right? Not talk, but listen to the commandments. Listen to what the church teaching is. Listen to what the gospel says. And try to live that. Not to talk about it, but to live that. And then that's the example of what we just talked about a few minutes ago, that it's great for kids because they will observe what we do, not what we talk about, but what we do, and they'll copy us. You know, another characteristic about the iconography is the elongated bodies. You know, the length of the body in the real life is about 5.5 lengths of our head. If you take it in iconography, as you look at it, it's if you compare it to the length of the head, it's about 6.5 to 8.5. So when you look at the icons, you have these like very tall figures. So that just gives you not the feeling, but the knowledge of that these saints are already in the heavenly realm. They're not subject to this world, but they're in the presence of Christ. So that's what it's depicting.
Very interesting, right? Because as we said at the beginning, many people associate the Eastern Catholic churches, and you mentioned Orthodoxy as well, the first thing comes to their mind is icons. Mm-hmm. And some other things such as incense, but icons are very descriptive of what people would associate the Eastern Catholic churches with. Now, mm-hmm. you have brought an icon with you, and what we'll do is we'll post this on our website and on our Facebook page as well, from AM 1260 The Rock. So you can take a look at this either, you know, if you're listening to this program at home, or if you're in the car or somewhere else, you come back and take a look at it. But specifically about the feast day, that is the day this is first broadcast, the 15th of August, mm-hmm. which in the Eastern churches is the Feast of the Dormition of mm-hmm. the Blessed Virgin Mary, known commonly in the West as the Assumption, when Mary, we believe dogmatically, was assumed body and soul somehow into heaven. And mm-hmm. Bishop Milan, we don't know how this happened, but we do believe as Catholics that somehow Mary was not subject to the same corruption of the body that all the rest of us are. What simply can you tell us about that, about the Dormition of the Blessed Virgin?
So my simple, you know, explanation of this mystery of faith, of this feast is, you know, if she as a mother of Jesus Christ was, as a, you know, place of physical, you know, to birth of God on this world, so can you imagine how should be here finish, here end? Even know, as a, you know, that Jesus as a privileged side and privileged place took as a first his mother, Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and to accept, to be, you know how to say, to exclude all exceptions. So I think that it's a naturally or normal, a logically, as a logically that,
yes,
that he took here. And she also, Mother of God, you know, his this end of his her life, you know, in here on earth, was practically, as I know, example or maybe another. This what's happened, we can say, with Christ in his resurrection. because every Christian, his faith, it's following, you know, this direction. The Mother of God is an example par excellence to explain us what will be happen with us if our faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and he rose up on third day, we will follow the same, you know, the same steps, the same. We are suffering. We can say also, you know, we are trying to follow Jesus, his foots, his steps, you know, as here, as a mother of God was also first disciple of Jesus.
Yes.
And so also this is how to explain, you know, that it's opening the new perspective for us. In Feast of Mother of God, in Dormition of the, you know, is a Dormition, they said it's not that the Eastern theology is not speaking about death of Mother of God.
The falling asleep,
falling asleep.
Is a good English translation. The falling asleep.
As a Dormition, it says that as a second tradition, will be, if I remember, will be speaking about this, when, you know, later Apostle Thomas will arrive, you know, to see body of Mother of God, tomb was empty. And so this is the same perspective as a Jesus life, as a his death, we can say.
And Father Mark, how is this shown in iconography, the falling asleep of the Mother of God?
First of all, I'd like to stress out the fact that it's a very important feast, one of the 12 major feasts in the liturgical calendar, because we start liturgical calendar on the 1st of September. The first Marian feast is actually the birth of the Mother of God on September 8th, and the church is one of the major feasts, and the church is finishing liturgical calendar with major feast of falling asleep of the Mother of God, of the Dormition of the Mother of God. It's also being preceded by the 2 weeks fast, which we start on August 1st through August 14th, one of the four fasting seasons in the Eastern Church, which is called Dormition Fast or Spasivka. And this feast was celebrated, the early celebration was the end of the second century. The Gospels are actually silent about this feast itself, as they're silent about other feasts, like the birth of the Mother of God. But
the last we hear of Mary in the Gospel is Pentecost, when she is there at Pentecost, and that's the last mention of the Mother of God in the Gospels. So there is no record in the Gospel or in historical record of her death or falling asleep or burial or any of that sort of thing.
But we have all this information from the Apocrypha text, that which are not part of the Gospels and the books that they were accepted in the canonical books. But Epiphanius of Crete, he's mentioning that the church was silent about this feast. It's because it couldn't grasp the grandeur of that Dormition. Up until the 8th century, when St. John Damascus talks about this feast, and that's actually describes also the icon that we have nowadays. You know, it was from the tradition of father to son, you know, to tell the story. And as we look at the icon of the Dormition of the Mother of God, there are two very important axes. As you look at the picture, one is horizontal axis, where you have the Mother of God laying in the bier or in the bed, and then the vertical axis, where Christ is actually holding the soul of the Mother of God. This is there's a very paradox, because we are used to the icons where the Mother of God is holding baby Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? But in this icon, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's something beautiful, because even in the Eastern churches, you have the icon of Dormition in the back wall. So when people leave the church, they're being reminded that one of these days you'll be called, all right? And you may be the one that Christ either carries you up to heaven or not. And that's that example that that's the beauty of it, that as we pray more honorable than the cherubim and beyond compare than the more glorious than the seraphim. Now, here is something that, yes, we can be those people, all right, is if we follow her example.
Gives you something to think about when you're walking out of the church after the divine liturgy.
Yes.
A great reminder from the Mother of God. We're going to, Father, continue our discussion. We have to take a short break right now, but
sure.
We want to remind all of our listeners here on AM 1260 The Rock that you're listening to Table Talk, our special monthly program in which we have as our guest one of our local bishops, Bishop Milan Lach of the Eparchy of Parma, is with us today. And also with us is his protosyncellus, his general vicar, Father Marek Wisnowski. And Father was explaining to us about the significance of iconography, and specifically on the 15th of August, the Feast of the Assumption, the Feast of the Dormition, how this plays into the development of Eastern theology and our concept of how we approach both our honor to the Mother of God and the lasting effects, as you said, walking out of the church and being reminded that it is our hoped-for destiny to be in the arms of Christ and taken with him into paradise. We'll continue with our discussion after we hear some of the sounds from the Divine Liturgy in the Byzantine-Ruthenian Catholic Rite, and we'll be back after a very short break, and hope you'll stay with us for more of Table Talk. Welcome back, everyone, to Table Talk. We're glad you're with us today on AM 1260 The Rock. Our special guest in the studio, Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. Bishop is the Eparch of the Eparchy of Parma, the Byzantine Catholic Church here in the area. And Bishop, we're privileged to have this program on the day of and weekend of a major feast in both the East and the West, the Dormition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, known as the Assumption. You know, it's a big feast here in Northeast Ohio in Cleveland. For many of the ethnic groups here, particularly the Italians, they have the big feast up in Murray Hill. Thousands, tens of thousands of people come because it's a big holy day. And we've been going deeper into why this is such a holy day, and especially in the Eastern Catholic Churches, learning some of the theology, Bishop.
Yes, this is, you know, the occasion for us also, you know, to understand our Christian, our identity as a Christians, as a believers in Christ, because we are following with this idea of our own death or life. And even we are more elder and elder, we are receiving the fear. And we need, you know, to make more strength our faith, our hope. And Mother of God, as a, you know, his example for us, also his this feast, Dormition, Assumption, if you want to say, is, you know, as a prototype for us, as an example for us to really, you know, to keep in mind, but not only keep in mind, keep in our heart, keep in our families. Because Mother is for everybody of us as the precious. This Mother is a Mother. Even we are thousand and thousand, you know, miles from home. But she will remain for us a Mother. And for this perspective, and this, we can understand also a relation between Jesus Christ and Mother of God. You know, this is as a why Jesus from cross, from Golgotha, told John, Evangelist, is your Mother, what a woman, this is your Son. This is a message for us, for every Christian. You know, this is your son. But does it mean that everybody of us, we are sons and daughters of Mother of God? That is wonderful. As you know, that we have somebody, we have, say, you know, somebody who knows Jesus very well, and she can, you know, to really to make this petition for us. For this reason, this feast, as you know, Pascha, as a Easter, as a important, many of theologians are speaking about second Easter. They mention, you know, this this summer Easter, as we have the spring Easter of Jesus Christ, so the summer Easter of Mother of God. Again, Easter. Again, you know, this death is trampling by death. This is all of, you know, what we are living every day. We are confronted in every day in our life.
Father Marek was explaining to us a little bit about how iconography in the Eastern Catholic churches depicts this Dormition and this example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Marek, when we took our break, you were mentioning that there are some instructive things that we can all take, East and West, from this feast of the Dormition, of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin.
Yes, a few more details about this icon. As we look at it, you know, it can be overwhelming. There are so many figures on this icon, and you have a couple of angels on icon of Dormition that they're taking up the soul into heaven. As you see in Eastern iconography, you have a couple of angels carrying Christ at the Ascension. You have actually four angels at the icon of the cross for Good Friday. Two angels are assisting Christ bear the agony, but two of them are actually coming to take the spirit, you know, up to heaven. So you have these two angels depicted there. More and more figures, as this icon later developed, are being depicted, but mainly the apostles are there. Of course, Saint Thomas is missing. He was late, but he came later, about 1 week, as the tradition says. And when he came, he found the tomb empty in Jerusalem.
Mary's tomb.
In the Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the tomb was filled with the flowers and the beautiful aroma, according to tradition. So that's where we as the Eastern Catholics and Orthodox have the tradition of blessing flowers and herbs, and especially, you know, at the time when it was used for medicinal purpose, people would bring their flowers and herbs to church to being blessed for the feast of the Dormition of the Mother of God. Another detail that is there is on many icons, but that's a later development after 14th centuries. You have one of the Hebrew fellows, and his name is Jephaniah, where he's trying to disturb the procession, and Archangel Michael is actually depicted cutting his both hands. And that's something that we as a Christians can learn also, because many times, sometimes we don't believe in that mystery, and we're trying to push it away. And that's something that teaches us, not that we're going to get our hands cut off, but, you know, sometimes we need like this spiritual slap.
Slap on the wrist.
Yes. And kind of like, you know, it's like a wake-up call for us as Christians.
And all of these practical approaches to our faith, you're saying, Father, are coming to us from the writing of this icon. We can look at this, and as you said some minutes ago, it moves from the icon into us rather than the other way around.
And it is something that, you know, contemplation is one thing, but it shouldn't stop there. We should let ourselves be transfigured and get into that mystery, that we become part of that icon. For more details, there are more apostles. You know, we're part of that event. You know, there are apostles. You can see St. Paul of Tarsus. You can see St. Peter incensing. You can see St. John theologian leading towards the mother, as Bishop said. You know, underneath the cross, only one apostles remain, and behold your mother and behold your son. You know, he's one of the ones that is leaning towards her, there's a few bishops. One of them is the first bishop of Jerusalem. Is
you mentioned
James.
About this contemplation, Father.
Yes.
And we have a few minutes left. I would like you to tell us just in the last couple minutes here about how we can use the example on this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, of her Dormition, as an example to give us more reflection in our daily lives as people of faith. You know, we don't hear from Mary in the gospel, you know, the Feast of Cana, do whatever he tells you. And that's the last we hear from her.
Exactly.
So you're saying we can form a more contemplative or a quiet existence?
Exactly. That's very important, because if we come to the realization, this icon, what it's all about, and I think Bishop mentioned that there's this parallel between the resurrection and a dormition. And there it is, you know, that parallel between the descent into hell, where Christ is actually pulling up the captives, and you see in this icon where Christ is carrying the soul, bringing up his mother into the glory. And if we realize that, you know, all of a sudden then we realize that, well, it's not just up to us. That's on God's mercy, and that's what we need to contemplate on, to quiet ourselves. And as I mentioned before, that's very important, because when we pray, what happens to Mary happens to all of who imitate her life of humility, obedience, and love. And that's something that in today's world is lacking. We live in a world that is very noisy, very prideful, very focused on self-esteem, and there is no concept of humility and obedience and love, and it's lacking. So with her, all people will be blessed to be more honorable than the cherubim and beyond compare more glorious than the seraphim if they follow her example. All will have Christ born in them by Holy Spirit, and all will become temples of the living God, and all will share in the eternal life of his kingdom, who live the life that Mary did. And it's actually the quiet life, the life that where we listen more than we just talk.
Very hard to do in our society today when, like they say, 24/7 noise.
Exactly.
Speaking of listening, we are very appreciative that all of you are listening to our special program here on AM 1260 The Rock. It's called Table Talk. We only have a few minutes left. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a prayer and a blessing from Bishop Milan Locke. And we want to send you off with one last little bit of advice from His Grace. And we'll do that when we return with more of Table Talk in just a moment. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock. We only have a few minutes left, and our guest in studio is Bishop Milan Locke of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, people very soon, maybe within the next couple days, will be sending their children back to school, whether it's elementary school, high school, or even university. What can you tell both the children and their parents and the families at this time of year when we're turning the children back over, they're leaving the house and going to have 9 months of school?
Well, as we were speaking about, you know, this Dormition feast, the Assumption feast of Mother of God, and about the symbology of iconography, I would like to underline this, you know, to in icons, you know, the people, they have, you know, big urn. Maybe this I would like to recommend, you know, to all kids, students, to more listen, no music, as you know, I know that it's too much, but more listen your parents, to find time for be with your parents, to learn from their experience because they love you. This is very important. Nobody is loving you more as your parents, your mom, your dad. So I encourage you kids and girls, boys, students. Maybe you will be, you know, for a long time, especially maybe in colleges, you know, from your parents. Okay, it's a different, you know, by calling, you know, to hear your mom, dad. But really appreciate your this time to hear them, to listen them. Because sometimes you say, oh, you are elder, you are from last century. What do you know? You will see later when you will be a little bit adult, what does it mean to say this? And one time, if you will be, you know, the parents, what does it mean? So this is a message for kids. Message for parents, but also for kids. Don't forget what you are and who you are. You are loving kids of God. Don't remember it everywhere you are. Also, even schools, even, you know, colleges, university, high schools. And you parents, please don't forget, pray every day for your kids. Please. Every day, every evening. Maybe your kids are left from church. Maybe your kids are left from God. Don't worry. You will keep your hope. Your prayer is powerful because your relation with your kids is the closest from all. And your prayer has strength, power to come back your kids in church, to come back your kids to Christ. So this is my message. I encourage you, don't worry. Don't worry. Go on. Go on in prayer every day, in patience, day by day. And you will see that God will, you know, rewards your effort and your generosity.
Bishop Milan, thank you. May we close the program with your blessing.
The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and loving kindness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop Milan Locke. Thank you, Father Marek. And thank you, most of all, for listening to us on Table Talk, a special presentation of AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We wish you a blessed weekend on this Feast of the Dormition, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and join us next time for Table Talk here on The Rock.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.